Acts chapter 3 and verse number 19. And I want to read that tonight, if you'll look with me. The book of Acts 3 and verse 19. Now this, let me just give you a little background here. The apostle Paul is, or Peter rather, is preaching. This is his second message since Pentecost. This is on the occasion of the healing of the man that was sitting at the gate, beautiful. He couldn't walk. And the Bible says that they said, get up, be healed. We don't have silver and gold, but such as we have, we give it to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And you know the story. He stood up, and the Bible says he went leaping and running and praising God. Praise the Lord. Then that was the occasion of this message that Peter preached. And I won't read all of this. I'm just going to read this one verse. Repent you, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, he was talking to those Jewish leaders who were living under the bondage of the law and all of that, that they lived under the hard taskmaster of the law, trying to satisfy and trying to live it out in their own strength and their own power. But whenever Peter begins to preach to them that day, he begins to identify. He says, you're the ones that delivered up Jesus. You denied that he was the Son of God. And you even exchanged him for a murderer, Barabbas. And that's, so he listed their crimes. He said in verse 15, you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. And he goes through and lists all of the terrible things that they had done. And then he says, repent. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that no matter how awful, how could you ever do anything worse than condemning the Son of God to death? How could you do anything so bad as they had done, rejecting Jesus and even trading him for a murderer, Barabbas? I'm telling you, it was wicked and evil, and their sins were uncovered that day by Peter. And the Bible says that after all identifying all of their sins, then he says, if you'll repent and be converted, and your sins shall be blotted out, then the times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Praise God. Do you know that's what people that walk in here to our services, some of them that come in, I know we never really know for sure all that's going on in people's lives, but I do know this, that the way of a sinner is a hard life. Satan is a hard taskmaster. And the way of a transgressor is a rough life. And they live under the burden of their sin and the guilt of their sin. And some of them walk in the door of the church, and it's like, I might try this one time and see if this could help. See if there's any hope here. And our responsibility before God as the people of God is to make sure that this is a place filled up with hope for every one of them. Amen. Every one of them. And he says, what you must do to that wicked bunch of religious people that day who had committed Jesus to death, he said, you're going to have to repent. You're going to have to repent and then turn. You're going to have to acknowledge, repent. You're going to have to acknowledge that you are wrong, that you are a sinner, and what you did was evil and sinful and wicked. And then turn. You're going to have to begin to change. The word just means to make a turn and begin to think right. Think right. Let me tell you what, people's minds are messed up. The world and the things of this world has messed up people's minds, and they are not thinking right. And the only thing that can give them a right mind is a move of the Spirit of God. A move of God, just like that demoniac who was finally clothed and in his right mind. That's what God can do. And that's why this place has to be a place of refreshing. Amen. God, make this sanctuary a place of spiritual refreshing. Amen. So that they can come and they can repent. They can acknowledge their sins so that they can begin to make a turn and begin to think right, think biblically, think righteously, so that their sins can be blotted out. Only the Lord can do that. So that their sins can be blotted out and the times of refreshing can come. That's what they want. That's what they need. They're so weary with the load of sin. They're so burdened down with the hopelessness of sin and the world. And they walk in here to our service, and this has to be a place where they can find some hope. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. The time of refreshing. It's interesting, that word there, it means to recover your breath, to get your breath again. I mean, they're just under the load of sin. It's so much so that it's taken away their breath. They need to be able to come in here and get a good, fresh breath of air in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. We all need that. We all need that. Not only does the lost and the sinner and those that are away from God need that, but you and I need that too. We need times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. Even Jesus himself, many times in his earthly ministry, he would pull himself aside. He would go aside. He would find a solitary place. He would go and he would pray. He would get alone and have a refreshing, a renewing, and be with his heavenly Father and be in his presence and be restored. We all need that. I have to tell you, I think Marcia will agree. We went for 2 weeks. We told you the other day that we were in 24 different services or sessions in that time. It doesn't sound very physically resting or restful, does it? As a matter of fact, some of those days we walked 10,000 and 12,000 steps per day. I mean, we really were hoofing it around New York City. We were moving it around New York City. And but I have to tell you, and I know, I'm sure Marcia feels this way because I watched her and observed her. But we sat there in some of those sessions and some of those services, and it was like a cool drink of water. It just felt so good. It just felt so good. I mean, when that choir began to sing, I thought, Lord, I've never heard anything like this. When I get to heaven, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be much better than this can be. But as we heard those things and we heard different teachers and preachers over the course of those days, it was a time of refreshing for us. Praise God for it. Glory to God. I really received help from the Lord. I wasn't all that physically rested, although there's something about it. If you're spiritually renewed and spiritually blessed and refreshed, it helps you in every way. You're restored in every way in the things of the Lord. Jesus pulled aside and found a place. Sometimes it might just be a room or a closet or a prayer room or right here in this sanctuary. It might just be a place that you go aside and get away and just ask the Lord, Lord, would you restore me and refresh me and renew me? I need that. We all need that. Amen. We need it personally, every one of us. If we're going to be able to have anything to offer to the world that's in need, we need to have our own refreshings, times of refreshings from the presence of the Lord. Amen. And then, you know, we need to be a place right here where, and I do believe that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be a safe haven for people. It needs to be a place where they can hear the truth of the gospel. It needs to be a place where they can sense the presence of God. It needs to be a place where it's undeniable that the people of God care about them. Most people today are rejected and alone. It's hard to imagine that, but it's just the truth. I mentioned there are 8.5 million people that live in New York City. And do you know that more than 50% of the population of the world lives in metropolitan areas? Big cities. More than half. They say that in the next 20 years, that percentage is going to increase to 70% of people are going to be living in metro areas where lots and lots of people are. They just get lost in the crowd. Lots of people, but they're really alone. They're really alone, and they need God. They need the help of the Lord so desperately. We should certainly take that on our heart and pray for them. Isaiah 35, let me turn over there for just a minute. Isaiah 35 is a chapter, a short chapter, that is really a chapter. I mean, some read it and they say this is about the returning of the those that were captive in Babylon, and this is about the returning remnant. But most commentators that you read after will say this is a clear message that speaks of the gospel age. That's the time you and I are living in right now. Praise God. This is the age of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the door is wide open, and the gospels can still be preached, and there's still opportunities. The door is going to close one day, but right now it's still open. But when you read it in light of that, let me just go through some of these verses in Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon, and they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are fearful, of a fearful heart, be strong. Remember, this is talking about this gospel age that you and I live in right now. And to those that are weak and those that are feeble, what do we say? We strengthen them. And we say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with the recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out. We are living in a wilderness and a desolate place right now in the United States of America. But the promise here is that right in the middle of all this desert and this barrenness and this hopelessness, that there can be a breakout of streams in the desert. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and a way it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. It's talking about the person, the wayfaring man, the traveler, the vagabond, that he won't err in the way because that way is built up and it's easy to find, because the people of God and the church and the ministry of the church is a place of refreshing. It is a place where they can find help in the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. And the ransom, this is verse 10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I'm telling you, the hopelessness of this generation can only be resolved by hearing the good news of the gospel. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this place needs to be a haven for those kind of people. Right here, we need to be a place for those kind of people. I'm telling you, when people like this come in, we had several of them in the service Sunday, they require extra attention. They require extra patience. They require extra love. Yes, they do. They're the wayfaring ones. They are the ones that are desperate and they don't know what to do or where to turn. But they need to find right here help. A place of refreshing, a place where they can come. And we need to have a ministry of refreshing here. Amen. That the presence of the Lord is here and we're all ready and willing to be used of the Lord to pour out upon them. 2 Corinthians 7 and 5. This was the Apostle Paul again who is saying, "For when we came to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side." Now this is Paul who is wore out in ministry. He is poured out so much that he has nothing to offer. He says, "We have had no rest. We are troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears." And he was simply just saying, we are just drained. We don't have anything left. Nevertheless, the next verse, 6, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Praise God. Here he is, and he's concerned about the church at Corinth, and Titus shows up when he is at his lowest point. He is physically drained, spiritually drained. He is poured out and poured out. He had nothing left, and Titus showed up. And Titus began to do the ministry of refreshing for Paul. Praise God. He comforted us and refreshed us. Notice, skip down to verse 13. What happens? He says, "Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed. We joy for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all." That's how it works. Titus comes from Corinth, gives a good report, encourages Paul, encourages all the brethren. He's like a breath of fresh air when he gets there. But then Paul says, "I was so encouraged because I saw Titus who came to encourage us, and I now see that he's being refreshed." That's what happens in the body of Christ. He said, "Because his spirit was refreshed by you all." In the ministry of refreshing, that's what happens. That we pour out and we pour out and we pour out and we bless people and we love people and we do what we can to minister to them in their need. And then God comes by his spirit and he just uses people to refresh us, to encourage us. Praise God. That word is used a number of times by the Apostle Paul in his writings, the word refreshed, which just means relieved us or helped us to be able to cool off and to be strengthened and refreshed. Praise God. 2 Timothy 1 and 16, "The Lord gave mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain." So what he's saying is that every chance we got, we went to the household of Onesiphorus. He's got a great name, Onesiphorus. And we went to his house because we knew when we got there, we were going to be refreshed. It was going to be kind words. We were going to be built up in the spirit. They were going to wash our feet. They were going to provide us a meal. They were going to minister to our needs. And every chance we got, we went to the house of Onesiphorus. Praise God. That's the way that needs to be at First Pentecostal Church right here. There needs to be times of refreshing, always going on, so when people come in, or like you and me, the saints of God, we get weary and worn out and you've given and you've poured out and poured out and poured out. And you just come into the house of the Lord and the presence of God just comes by and renews you. It refreshes you. It strengthens you. And you walk out renewed in the Spirit. Praise God. Times of refreshing. Seasons of refreshing that can come from the presence of the Lord. Individually, it needs to be happening. We need to be pouring out to people who need to be refreshed. We need to recognize our responsibility as the church, the body of Christ, who are always refreshing and pouring out and blessing those in their needs. Amen. And in so doing, we're refreshed also. Amen. Glory to God. Isn't it a wonderful thing? It is a wonderful thing to be able to sit in the presence of God and to hear and to be blessed and be encouraged. And the Spirit of God just pours into you and pours into you. Such wonderful, good things. Praise God for that. Amen. I thank you. I appreciate so much the church giving us those 2 weeks that really, really did something for me. And I thank God for it. Praise the Lord.